Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show begins right now. Hour one was pretty groovy. Bill Connelly. Wow. In fact, Dan sent me the text, hey, here are the guests today, blah, 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 Bill Connelly. I was like, really? I was like, well, no way. I mean, really? We can fit him in? But what I meant was, really? Bill Connelly, like I said, about as good a deeper dive, a drill down sort of guy, as you're going to find in the digital media. Does a great job there with ESPN.com. So I'm always appreciative when Bill comes on. We were talking college football quarterbacks and the enormous changing nature of the game and the fact that Nick Saban was still in a national championships doing something that nobody else was even trying to do. At least no other championship team was trying to do, and he was making it work. So that was hour one. We got more college football coming up, including later in the program. Mike Morgan, good friend of mine from ESPN, SEC Network. He's in studio today, isn't he? Yeah, Mike Morgan coming by bottom of the hour. And so he will hang with us for the rest of the program. That's coming up in about 25 minutes right now. I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football. Every single day, this is CFB 365, presented by EcoDerm. Text EcoDerm to 31996 now for your free sample of EcoDerm Pain Relief Cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, AP FCS All-America team announced. Now, the actual headline throws in the Eastern Washington quarterback's name. The point is that the reason I edited that down, and that's from the Associated Press, I'm AP.org. The reason I edited that down is because we're not likely to know very many names on the FCS All-America team, but there are some exceptions. I'm going to get to those. I'm going to show you what this is about. And Eastern Washington quarterback, Eric Barrere, he was named first team All-American FCS. The backup, you may know. Walter Payton Award finalists were part of the team, et cetera. Remember that FCS, they're actually going to conclude this weekend, aren't they? They got their national championship game coming up this weekend. I think it's Sunday. And so, and I know it's Sam Houston State and South Dakota State as well. So that's who's playing. That's right. And so they're going to finish their season this coming weekend. And so the All-American team is announced. Most of the players are going to be like the Eastern Washington quarterback, Eric Barrere. And I could give you his stats, and they're impressive. That's how you get to be first-team All-American. You don't know him. The only way you would know him is when he transfers. And he can have one more year of eligibility if he wants it, if he wants to transfer. And so if he does announce, I'm transferring from Eastern Washington to Wisconsin, then we'll pay attention. The second team quarterback, he went the other way. Remember Cole Kelly? Cole Kelly at Arkansas? Well, he transferred to Southeastern Louisiana, the Lions, I believe. They put players in the NFL. And he was the second team FCS All-American quarterback. He was already at he was already in the show. He had already started games in the SEC. And so he's like, you know what? I want a more stable situation. I want to play. I want to be able to show my wares. I don't know what happens with Cole Kelly going forward, but he transferred that way already. The reason I wanted to mention this is if you want to go online and you can go through that, the first team and the second team were announced, offense, defense, special teams. You got like 60 players announced. This is a feeder system. more so than ever for your team and my team and the person sitting next to you at lunch and the lady at the table next to you at dinner. This is a feeder system. It has become almost like a high school state championship, like a state, first team All-State in Texas, first team All-State. That's basically what this is. Your first team All-State in FCS. And what happens to the first team All-State offense in the state of Florida? Well, they all get scholarship offers to big schools. First team All-State defense in Texas. All 11 guys get tons of offers to big schools. What's going to happen this year? It's more so than ever. And, well, they could always do that. Absolutely, they could. The difference was you had to have a scholarship available. And what did the best programs do? They had their recruiting class wrapped up by February 3rd. And in the past couple of years, wrapped up by, like, December 19th. It's not how it is anymore. You have every program almost. I'm telling you, folks, if there's an exception, I point it out. I'm sure there's two coaches who look around and go, nope, we're full scholarship-wise. You know what they're saying behind the scenes? Dadgummit, should have left two open. It's different now. Head coaches purposely leave scholarships open to go out and harvest. And it might be from Indiana, and it might be from Texas Tech. It might be from Arkansas State. It might be from Sacred Heart. Julius Chestnut, sophomore running back, Sacred Heart. Your first-team All-American running back as a sophomore? Guess what? Hey, Joe Smith, Texas Longhorns. Very nice to meet you. Have you ever been to Austin? That's what's going to happen. Feeder system, man. So for a lot of these kids, honestly, I don't know about the facilities at Sacred Heart. If he ever gets offers and if he chooses to accept one, wherever he goes into it could be Arkansas State. He's going to look around and go, wow, this is a lot more fun. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more college football talk next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
One of the biggest changes in digital media over the last, say, 20 years is we've realized you have to drill down at least some. If you DeLorean backed around 2000 or so, well, I'm going to have a college football site. And what are you going to cover? Yeah, college football. I remember when UAB dropped the program. Folks, they didn't even field a team for, 2 years. There was a Conference USA site, and their daily traffic, there was a UAB football site that individually got more traffic than even the Conference USA site. So you got to drill down some. And one of the OGs in doing that, man, and what a great job. Saturday Down South have been having their folks on. John Cooper, Stephen Garcia back in the day, been having their folks on forever and going to keep doing it again today. Want to welcome on news editor from Saturday Down South, and we're going to bounce all around the conference. It is Michael Bratton. Michael, welcome, brother. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. A huge fan of the show.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I need a publicity director then, all right? So how about some flyers under windshield wipers? Just tell folks. Let's talk SEC, and I want to start in the state of Florida. Tell me what Dan Mullen and the Gators and the fan base and everybody has in Emory Jones as quarterback.
Yeah, well, obviously Kyle Trask was such a good player for the Gators. I think it's unrealistic for, you know, Florida fans to expect him to put up the big numbers he did, and that's just compounded with the Kyle Pitts and Tony off to the NFL. But I think we may find that, you know, this is going to be more the traditional Dan Mullen system, what he likes to do. And he's always been a ground-and-pound type coach, and I think the defense is going to be a lot better this season in Gainesville. I know people love to give Todd Grantham all the hell they can, but I think he'll do a good job. The defense will come around, and I kind of, you know, I hate to put this level of expectations on Emory Jones just because Dak Prescott was such a phenomenal player, but I think they go similar to that route where they're running the quarterback a lot. He's got a big arm. I think people don't appreciate the fact that Emory Jones does have such a big arm that can push it down the field, but I think it's going to be ground and pound and strong defense, and I think that's going to be Florida's ticket to potentially winning the East again.
You mentioned, you know, Grantham and the Florida fans and what they feel and may say. I keep asking folks who, you know, cover the team, like, you know, boots on the beach there in Gainesville, about the relationship and did it ever strain with he and Mullen. And they're boys. I mean, they go back. And everybody to a man or woman is like, nope, he still supports him. Grantham is still Mullen's guy. And so, like, literally the only person who gets a vote, his vote is in. Do you agree?
Yeah, and, you know, I think I was sold on Todd Grantham. I know he didn't have a great tenure there at Georgia, but I was really sold on him. He just go back several years. His first season there at Mississippi State, their defense was just atrocious. I mean, it may have been the worst defense I have ever seen in the SEC. Todd Grantham comes in there 1 year and flips that thing, made it a strength. And people forget that, you know, it took a little while for that Dan Mullen offense to get going down there in Gainesville. They relied on that defense, and I know it, you know, it held them back last season. It ultimately probably cost them a shot at the college football playoff, that defense. But defense was down across the boards. Kirby Smart's defense was not that good last season either in marquee games. And I don't hear anybody, you know, it's all about the offense in Athens. So I think defense across the board makes a comeback in college football, and Florida's got the talent this year to be one of the better defenses in the SEC, I think.
How competitive can can Tennessee be? And I don't mean to be disrespectful, because I know you got to have, you know, the bar set higher in being competitive, especially at a heritage program like that, but right now I don't think you do in Knoxville.
No, and that really shouldn't, kind of like you said, I mean, that's not the expectation right now. It's the goal is to not be a laughingstock of the league, and I think when I look at Tennessee this year, I think the best Tennessee fans can hope for is to be what Ole Miss was last year, where, you know, the last couple of years has just been, I mean, I'm a Tennessee grad. It's hard to watch these games, especially on offense. They've just been so dreadful. They can't get anything out of these quarterbacks. They got talent across the board. They just don't do anything with it, and that's not necessarily a Pruitt fault or Butch Jones. I mean, it seems like it's everybody down there. So I think the hope, if you're a Tennessee Vol fan, is just looking at Josh Heupel's track record of not only producing quarterbacks, but very balanced offenses. Tennessee's got some running backs to work with, some really good receivers. It's going to be all about finding a quarterback. And if they can do that, I mean, at this time last year, who was saying Matt Corral is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the nation? If Josh Heupel can find his Matt Corral, and he does have a couple options to work with, I think Tennessee can outscore a lot of people. But, you know, that's overlooking the fact that the defense is probably not going to stop anybody. So you're going to have to win some shootouts.
Last program I want to ask you about is Vanderbilt. And, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, I had a buddy a couple of weeks ago, he's like, James Franklin won. It means you can win at Vanderbilt. I was like, James Franklin won by slamming his head into a cinder block wall until it finally started to, like, chip a little bit. I was like, that's what you have to do to, quote, win at Vanderbilt. And then he got out as soon as he could. What's the real goal there? Because Clark Lee, I mean, he gets what it is. He played there. He knows what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, this has not made a lot of the news around the nation, and I assume it's just because it's Vanderbilt. But here in Nashville, and I've spoken to Clark Lee a number of times. I got a ton of respect for him, and I think he could do a really good job. But he's selling this as a 10-year rebuild, which is that's just not going to fly in the SEC. And maybe it will at Vanderbilt, yeah, you know, if they steadily improve year after year. But they just have such a long way to go. But the silver lining there is at least they got Ken Seals to work with at quarterback. And I think that's, I mean, that's all what everybody's wanting in the SEC is a quarterback to build around. They have that. They just don't have much around it. So, and I really appreciate the fact that they went out and got Barton Simmons to be the GM, because who better that knows the recruiting landscape than Barton Simmons? And he knows not only the recruiting landscape, but he talks to all these coaches, or at least he did at his, when he was at 24/7. So I think he's got a good indication of what these other teams are looking at and their boards. And now he's just got to find a way to build a roster that's capable of simply competing in the SEC.
Michael, I got to be honest. The reason I love it so much is it means, like, me or you, we could be next for a program to call, you know? Am I right?
I'll tell you what, if they're calling me, they're in real trouble. But, yeah, who knows?
Last thing I want to ask you is there was a situation, for instance, for about 5-6 seasons, I said that Paul Johnson and Georgia Tech, it was the number one marriage in college football. And I said, what I'm talking about is, like, the ceiling that of a coach that the school could realistically get and retain, and the program that that coach realistically could hang on to that. You know, it's like, this is the best for both of you. I think that's Kentucky and Mark Stoops now. I think that that is the perfect marriage of a program and a coach who each look at each other and go, we're about the best we're ever going to get, so let's keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, and I don't know if people appreciate the fact that Kentucky is – locked Mark Stoops down with what I consider to be the best contract in all of college football. I mean, he wins 7 games, he gets an automatic extension. He finds a way to win 10, which he did a couple years ago. He gets an automatic 2-year extension. And he's already paid as a top, I believe, a top 20 coach nationally in all of college football. So, I mean, the only way I see him leaving is, you know, it's got to be, some people say Michigan. I don't even know if that's a good job anymore. It's got to be a Florida State, which I think he turned down a couple years ago, or a team that
yeah, he didn't. They wanted to play footsie, and he was like, "I'm good."
Right. So it's got to be maybe a USC, someone that can realistically win a national championship. Otherwise, I don't see any way to get Mark Stoops out of Kentucky, because he's in such a comfortable position. Now, he may never win the national championship, but if he wins the SEC, if he finds a way to get that done at some point in his career, I mean, they may as well change the name from Kroger to Stoops Stadium up there.
You like everybody else at Saturday Down South? You got a beard?
Of course, man. Yeah. It hides my double chin.
That is the requirement down there. So I remember, like I said, John Cooper way back in the day, Connor now. It's just kind of the brand of Saturday Down South, and it's also really, really great coverage of the conference. Mike, I appreciate you coming on, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And you forgot Marler, but I think he's still babyface. He doesn't have any facial hair. I don't think he's capable of growing any.
Yeah, his dad's going to teach him to shave, and then he'll join the rest of you, okay? I promise, all right?
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, Michael Braddon again from Saturday Down South. Get him on Twitter at SEC Mike. I know it's him. Got a blue check there. But again, just a tremendous job at Saturday Down South. And what I was saying about the Kentucky program is it's no sort of disrespect or anything. It's that there is, I think, one of the most valuable things we can do in whether it's college football, an AD, you know, the administration, maybe the coach, your personal life, your own professional life. Never sell yourself short. Don't overplay your hand either. Don't be Ole Miss looking around going, by golly, what are you doing going 500? We're supposed to be a 10-win pro. Don't overplay your hand. Teams get that right. You know where teams get that right virtually every single year? In recruiting. You don't have Vanderbilt chasing 5-star quarterbacks. They get that right in recruiting. You know how programs almost never get it right? In coaching hires. They don't. And I think with Kentucky and Mark Stoops, you have two very aware entities right there. And like I said, it's the same thing Paul Johnson and Georgia Tech.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.
The coach and the program both realize this is pretty good, and we'll keep it.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All year, it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. Our next guest will certainly help check that box. Good friend of mine, and back in the day, I was his Sundance a little bit, I guess. We've done games together, but you can see him on ESPN, SEC Network, and not just with college football. It's hoops. It's the bases. In fact, I think I saw him doing a Mississippi State game the other day. It is my good buddy, Mike Morgan. Mike, brother, how are you today?
Good, good. I was a walk-off in the 11th, so you picked a good game
that
to,
was it.
To
I
tune
was,
into. Yeah.
Was it Sunday?
Sunday, absolutely. South Carolina, Mississippi State, walk-off, bottom of the 11th, on a double, always a good time. A little more challenging when you're calling those from the home office. So we were not in South CAC.
And that's what one thing that, you know, it's every Saturday, Sunday, whatever, I'm always like, oh, what's on SEC Network?
Yeah.
And it, maybe it's a baseball game and I'll check in. Maybe it's the 1980 Georgia-South Carolina football game and I'll check in. But I did actually want to ask about that because I know we've talked about this before, but I have actually become convinced by the first month of the Major League Baseball season of something. Like a lot of other industries, sports broadcasting, whether it's networks, individual stations, leagues, teams, they are going to use the pandemic as the excuse to slice the broadcast travel budget. It is high fructose corn syrup. It's like it's the substitute for the real thing. It's CGI instead of actually doing it on film. It does affect the broadcast, and I'm going to tell folks why. You and I did this, I think the last Southern Miss game with Ellis Johnson. We did Southern Miss Memphis. They were in the middle. They were wrapping up that 0-12.
Yeah.
I went to the walkthrough the day before the game. That's where you get the good stuff.
Yeah.
Is the walkthrough, the travel, the airport, the whatever. There's a lot of reasons why reporters, broadcasters not on site. It just isn't the same.
You got that last tidbit of information on how Southern Miss might avoid 0-12. And then they lost and went 0-12.
It didn't work, but it was that last little nugget.
And I said, I love Ellis Johnson. He did great work at South Carolina. That was a no-win situation when he took over at Southern Miss, but I digress. No, look, you're absolutely right. I could give you a bullet point presentation on the things you miss when you're not there. And we as a company, and it's not just us, Fox has done this, professional teams have done this.
Everybody.
Right? We don't pretend that we're there. When they first started doing these, remember, this is not brand new. They started doing what we call REMI, remote integration, about 7-8 years ago. And I remember some of my bosses at ESPN saying, Mike, you might not like it, but it could be the future.
I remember I talked about it. Wasn't it the season opener about 5-6 years ago? Was it Rice and somebody in Australia?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they weren't paying to send people
and
to
so
Australia.
And they told at the beginning of the broadcast, right. ESPN's like, we're in Bristol. Let's go to Brisbane.
Yeah, exactly. But I think at the beginning, because the TV, we can kind of try and fool people, right? We could put a backdrop on there that looks like the stadium.
Absolutely.
Put a little green screen action. And the announcers never said we're not there. I think we all just kind of felt insecure about it, quite frankly, you know, saying, hey, we're doing a game, but we're not even there. The audience, the people, the fans said, no, we don't like this. We expect our announcers to be there. Okay, fast forward 7-8 years. The reason we did it is because of COVID. The reason it could stay is because it saves a lot of money. So that's always going to be a concern. I don't think we're going to be full-fledged. We're not going anywhere. The technology is such that we can do as good a job as it can possibly be done. But you're right. It's not the same for a million reasons. You mentioned that walk-off I called. That, if you watch it, I mean, I was really happy with the way everything turned out. But when the ball hits the bat, there's about a second and a half delay from when I start calling what I see is going to be a game winner.
You got to wait and see them on your I was about to say monitor. If you're at your house, it's a TV.
Yeah, it's
at
multiple.
At the studio, it's a monitor.
Yeah, it looks like I'm launching a space shuttle at my home office. But yeah, it's a second off, and then you've got to wait for the right angle, and you're at the mercy of what you see on your screens. Of course, you don't get the same access. Of course, you don't get a feel for the crowd. I mean, there's a number of things.
And that's the other thing is that I don't see that the backup quarterback is actually taking a snap on the sidelines. Not throwing, because anybody can throw. Mm-hmm. When you take a snap on the sidelines, that's what matters.
No doubt.
And you don't see that. And another thing, you know, I said at the beginning of the baseball season, and by the way, I don't do games anymore, okay? I'll do, like, maybe the kickoff game and the Chick-fil-A Bowl, because they're in Atlanta, and I'll go do those games.
Well, you're commanding too much money, let's be honest.
Exactly.
$500,000 a game is a little high.
Price myself out. But so I'm not whining about anything for me. I'm talking like the same as anybody listening right now, the at-home viewing experience. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the baseball season, and I think that this is going to go into more of the philosophical area as well. The last thing I can take right now is any more fake. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Blue Jays been playing in Dunedin.
Right.
Cardboard cutout still in the seats.
Yeah.
And they're piping. I was watching a Blue Jays game a couple of weeks ago. It's like a Tuesday against the Brewers or somebody. Mm-hmm. And there's this huge crowd noise. And I'm like, wait a minute, that was a double play in the third inning. And there's like 700 people at the game. I'm like, they're still piping in the fake crowd noise like it's just the cardboard cutouts. I was like, I can't take this anymore. Yeah. And so I need the broadcast. It's like, I know when it's wrong. I know when it's not what it was. And for the viewer at home, we really do see it.
There's no doubt. And you know, you mentioned I did the Mississippi State spring game. It wasn't a sellout, but it was enough people where you felt like it was an actual event again. I did the FCS playoff game on site. I was at Jacksonville State for that game. And so, A, we're there, which I was just like, thank goodness. Yeah. And B, fans were there and I could hear the crowd, not in headsets. I could actually just hear the crowd being there. And it felt like it was the first time I felt like a real game in a while. Even the football games, a lot of them I did were on site. For example, I did a game at the Swamp. But instead of 90,000 fans, there's 10. So it's just different.
It's like you're doing a spring game almost.
It's like you're doing a spring game. I mean, everything this year you've taken with a grain of salt. And I made a pact with myself. I wasn't going to complain about anything as long as we had sports and we were all employed, because, A, we're blessed for both of those things to happen. But now, turning the calendar to fall of 2021 and onward, I'm going to be a little more greedy.
Yeah,
I want
like
a little
I said,
more.
As an at-home like fan experience, I'm watching the games. I'm like, it was always normal. Now I notice that it's wrong. It doesn't feel like it used to. All right, talking with Mike Morgan again, SEC Network, ESPN, et cetera. You mentioned the Mississippi State spring game. Did you get any time with the Pirate beforehand? Because I have interviewed that man one time, and it was one of the oddest experiences I've ever had.
You enter another dimension when you talk to Mike Leach, and we spoke with him for about 45, 50 minutes. And I think 10 minutes of those were him talking about he has a brand new paddleboard and a huge pond in his backyard. And that's what he loves to do now. He loves to go home, get on a paddleboard in a pond in Starkville in his backyard. And for some reason, that just amused me to no end, because the picture in my mind, I couldn't sketch it out of my brain.
I had him at SEC Media Days, cargo shorts, strap-on sandals, T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say we talked. He sat in a chair for 15 minutes. I never saw his eyes. He stared at the carpet the entire time, and he went on, doctoral thesis about real estate in Key West.
Yeah. He's insanely bright, and you're right. He doesn't make eye contact, but he loves to talk to you. So from our standpoint, that's refreshing, because not every coach does. Some just go through the motions. Look, I don't think Mike Leach gets enough credit, because I think too many people know Mike Leach from, obviously, Texas Tech and Washington State. But I remember those Hal Mumme Kentucky teams.
Yeah.
That was some of the most exciting football in the SEC in our lifetime, with Tim Couch and all those guys.
And they had Alabama and Georgia looking around going, what?
Yes. And that was Mumme and Leach. I mean, and Leach just continued. I mean, he's an innovator. He's an absolute innovator. He doesn't get the credit of a Steve Spurrier or Lavelle Edwards, but he's certainly right up there with what they do. And I think last year was a mulligan year, not just because of COVID. Things could not have started off more on the wrong foot. I think there was a little bit of a chemistry issue inside when your top player Hill, the running back, is kind of cancerous, if you will, which is why he dropped all the way in the draft, despite being height, weight, 40 time, all fit.
And I can catch the ball.
Yeah, yeah, but there's some stuff there, and he had to deal with that head on because the last coach didn't deal with any discipline whatsoever. That was the problem. But now in year two, with Mike Leach, everybody's bought in, and he's got his quarterback, and he's got enough weapons to be different. And I think Arnett, by the way, Zach Arnett, remember that name for a young DC?
Oh, yeah.
His stock is it's skyrocketing. So they're going to be competitive. They're not going to win the West or anything, but they're going to be much more competitive this year.
Lane Kiffin, continue with Mike Morgan again, SEC Network, et cetera. If we do a full accounting of Lane Kiffin and the different types of offenses that he's either been in charge with, he and Sark, remember, at USC, but then Jonathan Crompton at Tennessee, Alabama, what he did at FAU, and then what he won with last year at Ole Miss, I don't think people realize. Everybody thinks last year, oh, yeah, that's Lane. I'm like, no, Lane's been like five things. Lane has been whatever it takes to win. I can't get enough of him.
He is great for the league. He's great for college football. He's probably the closest thing that we have to a young Spurrier in terms of the cockiness, the arrogance. People are going to start hating him, which I think is good, is healthy for the league. Now, I will say this. Lane Kiffin, 2008 Tennessee, Lane Kiffin, 2021 Ole Miss, a lot of maturity.
So totally different guy.
Yeah, totally different guy. So he's still arrogant, but he's grown up now. And I, there was a time where I would have said, I don't want Lane Kiffin as my head coach for XYZ SEC program. I don't want to deal with the headaches. He's probably going to bolt if he has one good year. Now you get the mature, more polished product who still knows how to call ball plays, who still is going to be a gravitational magnet in terms of recruiting, because young kids relate to Lane Kiffin more so than some of these other coaches. So home run hire and a chance to do some good things in time there.
Last thing I want to ask you about before we take a quick break. I was talking yesterday, 2013, week of July 4th, I'm in Vegas. My alma mater's on the board 75-1 to win the SEC. And I was like, I'm a bad grad. I can't do it. I can't fork over. It's like they can't win. Coaching changed. They're coming off 3-9. Well, they're SEC champs at 75-1. I said, going into this year, it's like the second time in my adult life that I've ever looked at Auburn preseason and said, yeah, they can't win the West. And I was wrong the first time, but there's just, I mean, this is a heck of a mountain to climb this year. I mean, this is a restart year for Brian Harsin and Auburn.
I think so. And I still don't know what you have at quarterback. I don't think
the final 3 minutes we got stud.
Well, yeah, but I don't think you build an offense around him. Now and I'm not going to go game manager because we all know that's a code word, that's a derogatory term. But I think he's somewhere in the middle. Like he's not what they have in Oxford right now. He's not Corral. But I do think you can win with him if you surround him. And I think Harsin might dial it back a little bit and not put so much pressure on him. I just never liked the fit the last couple of
not
years with him anyway.
I don't think that there was any tangible advantage you could say, like the pros and the cons. Like the cons had his thumb on the scale. I mean, there was literally both. And as a true freshman starting in the SEC,
right.
he wasn't going to succeed. He wasn't. All right, that's Mike Morgan. I'm Chuck Oliver. We're going to break, come back, wrap up on a Thursday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Wrapping up the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. Appreciate everybody getting their 2 hours of college football conversation right here. Been doing it since the beginning of the 2014 season, so thank y'all for that blessing. I want to welcome back in my good friend from the SEC Network and all extended networks from there. It is Mike Morgan.
Hey, shout out to one of your affiliates that I used to work at as a student, WRUF, AM 8 foot. Now they're on the FM stick over there in Gainesville. So shout out to everybody out there.
They got a flamethrower down there now.
They're doing well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When I was there, it was a 5,000 watt. We were just pumping as many watts as we could to get out there in the mighty Gainesville, Ocala market.
WEGL 91.1 FM, Radio Free Auburn.
Yeah.
If you got to 85 from campus, it got dicey.
Yeah.
Right time of day, you could still pick it up. But once you were going north or south on 85, it was gone. We're talking college football 2021. Let's talk your alma mater. Is week three versus Alabama really a scenario where you're doing anything other than playing Emory Jones every snap the first 2 weeks? Because I keep hearing about this freshman from Gainesville, Richardson, that they go to work in. I'm like, not with Alabama waiting.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that depends on Emory Jones. You know, how good Emory Jones looks the first couple weeks, how good he looks in the fall. I mean, I've seen him in bits and pieces, and there's just not enough there to have a strong opinion. Anybody that says, oh, I watched him on those five plays against Missouri, and I'm convinced this kid's going to be all conference, then I don't know what you saw. Conversely, I can't say he's a bust either because I don't know what we've seen. So I know one thing, to expect Florida to be as explosive as they were, I mean, you think about it. I don't know if people really knew what they were looking at because – Kyle Trask, second-round pick. Kyle Pitts, highest drafted tight end since ever. Kadarius Toney, who when I was doing their game against Missouri, it was amazing. I was like, he's here. And, again, we're in person on this one, so I can see a herd of Missouri defenders surround him, and somehow he zig-zig-zig-zig joysticks his way out 30-yard touchdown. That's why he went late first round. They were loaded on offense with weapons. They're all gone. So it's not just can Emory Jones be Kyle Trask, it's who replaces all
big
these other guys.
Justin Short, who was a little Jurassic in his pace, but he's big.
Yeah.
And Justin Shorter, the Penn State transfer,
correct,
right?
Correct, correct.
That he looks right, and then you're like, is that a 4.6?
Yeah.
Which you can still succeed, but it's just going to be way different than track star here and track star there.
They lost a lot. And look, Dan Mullen doesn't – we've seen this with Dan Mullen. I know there's a lot of hate going around with Dan Mullen. Some of it I understand. Some of it, quite frankly, I don't. Dan Mullen has proven he can light up SEC defenses without having the most talent on offense. He's done it before, okay? But this is going to be a new test because there's so much turnover from last year's Florida offense to this year's Florida offense. I don't know what we're looking at on defense. The schedule is brutal, and everybody and their grandmother is telling you Georgia's in a class of their own in the East this year. So what does Florida bring to the table? I'm going to be very curious, like everybody else, to see that because I still think people want to talk about the bowl game and first of all, they played Alabama more tough than anybody in the entire season.
I said Kyle Trask. I was so impressed with
him. Oh, my goodness.
He threw them into a real game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you want to say, well, they lost their last, you know, the last three games, whatever, LSU is obviously an embarrassing one, the manner in which it happened. But that was still a good season. The program is still on an uptick. Do I have to remind people just how bad Florida was with some of the previous coaches? Do we have to go back to the McElwain and Bill Muschamp era to remember? Be happy you got Dan
Oh, my
Mullen.
Goodness gracious. I said that, you know, actually, you went to an SEC championship game 1 year with Treyon Harris. The other one was it Appleby?
Yeah, the third.
And Luke Del Rio.
Del Rio.
And then it was the transfer from Purdue. One of them went to LSU, one of them went to Florida, and
right. Those two teams made it to Atlanta, but those were not.
Yeah, Danny Etling, wasn't he LSU? And it was
right. That was the most down year for SEC quarterback play that I can recall. When you've got kids that couldn't start for Purdue that were starting in
at
the SEC,
two SEC schools,
right? That was like whoa. That's when the ACC had Deshaun, and clearly that's why they had a better year. That's an aberration.
How does Georgia not win the East?
I don't see a way they don't. If they don't, it's going to be it's going to be great for you on your radio shows because it's going to be.
I said I want November football to matter. That's
goodness.
All I want.
No, but I mean, you know this. fair or unfair, and a lot of it's unfair, there's a segment of the Georgia population that believes that Kirby Smart hasn't done what he needs to do because he hasn't won a national championship. And they're gonna hang second and 26 against them. They're going to hang the fake punt against them. They're going to hang the fact three consecutive games against Alabama, double-digit lead at halftime, three consecutive games they lost. And so Georgia fans are like, ah, Kirby. He's done better than Mark Richt, period. But if somehow they didn't win the East this year, it would be all bets are off on the criticism and the venom that'll be spewed his way. That being said, I don't see anybody in the East this year that could knock him off. And the only chance to me would be Florida if they somehow pulled off the upset in Jacksonville, which has been known to happen. If that happened, maybe. Outside of that, no chance.
You have a history. You got some resume in Columbia, South Carolina.
Sure.
Where is that program right now? Because there are some positives that I wasn't sure I would ever see. And I'm talking about like the real investment in world-class facilities. Mm-hmm. It's there.
Yeah.
You know, the investment from the fans and the contributions, it's always mm-hmm. been there. But the school is like, all right, let's stop trying to keep up. Let's try to get ahead a little bit.
Right.
All right, now you got to do it on a field in a state with like 6 million people and very few five-stars.
Yeah. It's a rebuild. Look, I understand the hire of Shane Beamer, perhaps more than some others, because I've been there, as you mentioned. I was there 10 years, and I know the inner workings of that program, and I know they needed something other than another SEC retread. They really needed someone who wanted that job, who understands that job, because, again, Shane was there during some of the glory years and helped recruit some of those players during the glory years for Steve. They needed to do something different. They have done something different. That being said, they don't have a roster that in year one is going to contend for a ton. I think if somehow they could squeak out 6 wins and get to a third-level bowl game, that's a win. That is an absolute win for Shane Beamer and company. But it starts with Doty at quarterback, and then who do you have at wide out? They're going to ground and pound. I mean, if you like old man football, they're going to play it because they don't have a choice. They got 2 really good backs.
Oh, yeah. That's what, you know, this new offense. And I was like, wait a minute. Redshirt freshman started 2 games, 4 offensive linemen back, Marshawn Lloyd. I was like, I know how this is going.
Yeah. Ground and pound. They are going to be the 1985 SEC version of offense is what you're going to see in Columbia, South Carolina. They have to do it.
I want to ask you quickly about Ray Tanner,
yeah,
athletic director there, because mm-hmm. you get yourself fired or you keep your job based on football hires.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
He made the Muschamp hire, correct?
Correct.
He's made the Beamer hire.
Yep.
I like Shane Beamer for about 38 reasons I could tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Shane Beamer in the SEC East at South mm-hmm. Carolina. That mm-hmm. is uphill, brother. It may
right.
be Everest.
Yeah.
There's a chance that in 3 or 4 or 5 seasons, mm-hmm. he's got 2 failed. You don't get a third one. You
correct.
And so
unless
like
you're Jeremy Foley.
Yeah, he staked his the rest of his career being employed
yes.
at a place where he won national championships
yes.
on Shane Beamer.
There's no question. But what I point out, remember this, Jeremy Foley for a while was considered the best AD not only in the SEC but the country. He hired Ron Zook, fail. You disagree with that? He hired...
No, I agree with it. I remember they fired him as DC, and then like 5 years later, it's like, they run the whole program.
Ron Zook, fired, right? He hired McElwain. He hired Muschamp. He made 3 bad football hires and fires. So even the best ADs in the world, they're going to miss on some. It just happens.
Yeah, he brought the fun and gun, though.
Yes, he... Well, no, he didn't hire Steve.
Who's the
associate? He inherited Steve.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Mike Morgan, good friend. Always love his in-studio visits.
Love
Dan,
the show,
David,
man.
Everybody, appreciate it. Be back in 22 hours with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.